Well, we did it. The movie review has given us the power we need to shatter the dimensional barrier, which means we're ready to send you back to your home dimension.
And get our Sasha back.
Yeah, no offense, but I'm going to be glad to be home. And as for you, Ben, really sorry about the whole kidnapping you and tying you to a chair thing.
It's fine. I can't blame you, really. At least you were eventually willing to listen to reason.
Hey guys, as much as this is a Kodak moment, we can't hold this level of charge for too long. It's now or never.
All right. Whew. I'm ready when you are, Brian. Goodbye, fellas.
Teleport underway.
Where am I? The command center? Oh, not again.
Is it our Sasha?
Bioscan checks out, but so did the other previous one we did after the fake Sasha arrived.
Brian, I am going to hurt you in so many ways you cannot imagine. Months of my life, married to a stranger, no internet. The highest form of media was Betamax.
Whoa, okay, George Jetson. We just need to confirm that you are the Sasha from our universe.
Yeah, do you feel the urge to bake me cookies?
What? No! Make your own damn cookies.
What is this?
A fancy screwdriver?
It's clearly a Pyroflux conduit. Hold on. I got this. What were the names of the five original members of Kyoto Sentai Geo-Ranger?
Which one is that one?
Doing it all wrong. You're both questioning her based on other Sasha, not our Sasha. Here. Chiron Gillen's run on Young Avengers was the seminal run on the comic, and is the best take on Billy Wiccan Kaplan.
Excuse me? Are you kidding me? That comic is the biggest insult to Young Avengers that I've ever read in my entire life. He couldn't be bothered to make
yep.
a real plot.
That's her.
He couldn't be bothered to read the context and ignored major characterization.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the season finale of Voices from the Grid, Season 2. There is a sigh of relief that you're about to hear as I introduce the Blue Ranger, Brian Massey.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? Season finale.
The Black Ranger, Mr. Ben Taylor.
Ew, it's about damn time.
And the Red Ranger, Sasha Kaplan.
Hallelujah.
It's been a journey to get to where we are now. And
No, I do the My Journey columns.
Okay. Oh yeah, Ben, you want to talk about the journey we've taken so far to get to where we are in season two?
Yeah, I want to put a bit of an apology out to everybody. For how long season two has taken. A lot of the problems have been because I've been in and out of hospital a lot with my disability and other health problems, not COVID related, don't worry. So that's not been great. And in the time that that's happened, Mike's had like 15 different jobs. So his recording schedule has been all over the place, and Sash has moved house, and like Brian has been Brian.
We're finally in the same general geographical region.
We are. And nice, right? Long story short, we're really sorry that season two has taken so long, but there were extenuating circumstances. He said, recording this in a sling because his shoulder's buggered.
You know what that means to Ben? Freaking soldier.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are a champion.
Well, I mean, he is the undisputed champion of Awesomania.
Anyway, thank you all for your patience. Let's get on with the finale.
Which we had many, many things happen in season two. We had new Zords, new villain, new Rangers, new story arcs. So let's go right into it. Let's talk about the villains first before we get into the heroes. Overall thoughts from beginning to finish. What were your thoughts on Lord Zedd in the introductory phase to where he became at the end of season two?
Zedd starts off really intimidatingly. Like he has a cool design. He looks really like for a 5-year-old kid watching it, he looks kind of intimidating, right? But by the end of the show, to be honest, he's not that scary. And he's still cool, but he kind of resorts to the same shtick that Rita did. And I think arguably even had less success than Rita.
Unpopular opinion here from a lot of people. I prefer Zedd towards the end of the series than the beginning of the series. I think Rita and Zedd are their best together. Like, without each other, they didn't do anything. They just bounced off the Power Rangers, right? They just continually bounced off them. And then once they get together, eventually they do destroy the power coins. They win. Like if it hadn't been for like weird timey-wimey nonsense in season three, when they end up dusting the power coins, they would have won.
I think we'll get to see more of that come season three. Yeah, but
I think the dynamic between Zedd and Rita starts existing in this season.
That's fair. I did like the dynamic.
But would you agree, though, that in the beginning, when Zedd is first introduced, he does start strong because he does kind of put the Rangers on the ropes. But then as the season tapers on, he loses that edge a bit until Rita comes back.
He doesn't really put the Rangers on the ropes that badly, right? If you think about it, it's like, he makes an impressive entrance and like gets Goldar on his side, and Squat and Babu are hiding, and he cuts a very impressive entrance. But once he's on the stage, he doesn't make that much of an impact, honestly. Right. That's not to say he's bad. It's just, if they'd had him show up and win instantly, it'd be the end of like, admittedly, season two would have been much shorter and we would have been finished about like 11 months ago. But I think you get my point.
Yeah. Brian?
So obviously, due to the nature of the footage that was usable or not usable in Die Ranger, it was kind of necessary to get a new villain in because A, all the Zoo Ranger footage was dried up, and B, couldn't really do what they were doing with, I think it was the Gorma over there. It doesn't matter. But I think for what they did, like, it definitely left an impression on me as a kid. And Lord Zedd, to me, is still one of the cooler looking villains. To this day, I still love that design. And as far as when it's kind of by design, the reason why all the silly goopy stuff kind of happens later on is because there were lots of complaints about how scary he was. Like, kids were legitimately scared by Lord Zedd. I wasn't one of them, really. I thought he looked freaking awesome. He was an actual like legitimate threat to the Power Rangers. But was I disappointed when like him and Rita got married? No. Like, I honestly, like, it was a very interesting dynamic in the show, and I kind of loved it. I just wonder where, like, I don't know. It just, it definitely meant that, like, some people kind of went down a rank. Like, Goldar was definitely not the same. He didn't really carry the same kind of prowess, it felt like, because all of a sudden it's like, okay. But I don't know. I think
Goldar's role changed, though.
Yeah, Goldar's role definitely changed in this season, because at first he was just kind of like Rita's pawn in a way in the first season. And then the second season, Zed really tried to use Goldar as like a general.
Yeah. He's like, if you watch the first season, he's literally just, he's the equivalent of the guy that when Rita says something, he's the heavy, right?
Yeah.
If you imagine it like a mafioso, he's the heavy. He just goes in, does what he's told, and comes back. But like with Zed, he's got a lot more sort of input on things.
Mm-hmm.
Not like he's not sitting there making up like, oh, we're going to do this monster and that monster and this monster. But like he's like, but what if I did this? And Zed goes, that's a brilliant idea. Go do it. Right? Mm-hmm. Like
he's actually strategizing.
Yeah.
On what to do.
Definitely,
and there are
Babylon Squad definitely got a demotion this season.
I'm not sure they even exist this season.
I'm not sure they could have got demoted much more than they already were, which was like
you could say they were basically sort of forgotten this season.
Finster was the ultimate one forgotten this season.
Yeah,
I kind of missed Finster this season. Like he showed up every once in a while.
You mean the actual brains of the operation,
right? But I like Ben's point about Goldar having to do more, and it was very clear that Goldar felt very limited to what he could do with Rita, right? Because, like, even though, Goldar, like the marriage of Rita and Lord Zed, right? Goldar opposes it. He doesn't really stop it, really, but he could have, and it sort of makes you wonder, like, if Goldar had a little bit more ambition, could he have become a slightly more than a second in command lackey?
Yeah,
but he did get to do more this season.
Yeah, and but then he kind of became like a comedy act after the wedding, though. Like, not right away after the wedding, but before we definitely got to the end of the season, he kind of became a comedy act.
Well, in all effect, everyone kind of became more comedy after the wedding.
Yeah,
like everyone. And I know we don't like to talk too much about what happens in future seasons, but if they hadn't arced towards that comedy towards the end of season two, when Rito shows up in season three, it would have been so jarring.
Yeah,
it would have been weird.
Yeah, because, like, and admittedly, at this point, they know they're doing a season three.
Yeah.
So it makes sense for them to actually start doing the arcing to get over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what do you think of Serpent Terra? The, one of the greatest Zords to have the worst battery life of all of them.
I was literally going to say, like, Serpent Terra is like the Game Gear of Zord. That's like, man, look at all the cool stuff it can do. It eats up batteries like nothing.
I just don't see why Zed didn't just wait 6 months and win. Like, if he'd just waited for the batteries to recharge, it's just game over. Right?
Yeah. I don't know. It looks really cool, but I don't know if it's just like a boy thing or what, but like Serpentera looked cool, but I didn't really care that much. Maybe it was because of the useless battery. Probably ran on dial up. I don't know what it was, but like, it's sort of like the writers made it too powerful and they're like, oh crap, we made it too powerful. What do we do? How do we write ourselves out of this? Oh, it needs to recharge.
Oh no, it got unplugged from the wall.
And don't forget its mystical weaknesses to motorbikes. But we'll talk about that in a few seasons.
But like, and Brian, you can answer this for us. You know, in the Sentai Die Ranger, Serpentera is actually a god and actually has very limited screen time too.
Which is why the shots that we get tend to get a Serpentera tend to be the same ones, which, I mean, that doesn't really mean anything because Power Rangers reuses shots all the time. So that's not really saying much, but yeah. They definitely nerfed Serpentera for Power Rangers. Correct me if I'm wrong, he shows up in, his first show up is when they meet the Masked Rider, right?
Believe so.
Yeah, and like that.
No, Power Transfer.
That's right, Power Transfer.
Yeah.
Legit terrifying. Like that was like, whoa. And then, I don't know, but.
And then the batteries just kept running out. And then the batteries just kept running out.
Yeah, and it was like, oh god, that's just kind of lame. It's almost like it's like playing a game that you really like, and it's like, yeah, you got a character that's kind of OP, but it's like, hey, you know, I can kind of get away with it, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, new update, and it's like, oh.
Dial up, I'm telling you.
Dial up. 56K though.
So, with the incoming, we'd also have to talk about new Rangers.
Well, we're not done talking about villains yet.
Oh, we aren't. Oh, okay.
No, because there's the incredibly well executed Dark Rangers.
Who wear what looks like could be homemade Halloween costumes that my mom probably would have made. Love you, Mom.
Honestly, but homemade Halloween costumes look better than that.
I think that they might have actually used like old putty costumes and dyed them.
I think they did. Yeah.
It's what it looked like to me.
They just sewed on some diamonds.
Yeah. And then they sewed on like great little concept, red eye.
Poor execution.
It's kind of like those like, you know, those like skin tight bodysuits that you can buy that like, you know, they have
the lycra suits. Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
Yep.
Actually, I'd rather take what they put on the show over those lycra suits, because those lycra suits are bad. But
anyway, Ben, aside from the
greatest Dark Rangers ever.
Yeah. Was there anything else you wanted to say about villains?
Also, I will say this every season where it's applicable. Criminal underuse of Scorpina. Yeah. Absolutely criminal.
If I remember, she was only used in like 2 episodes,
something like that. Yeah,
yeah. Does and one of them, actually, you know what? That's a great segue, Ben, because Scorpina was used in an important episode to develop one of the greatest Power Rangers of all time, Mr. Adam Park. And Ben, you know, we don't have an episode to talk about how soon Adam Park came into the episode. But we've been recording for about 20, 25 minutes or so. We're now talking about Adam Park. Is that acceptable to you? No, not at all.
Should have been quicker.
By Ben's logic, we should have started with Power Transfer and then worked our way around the rest of the season.
We could have just skipped every episode up to the Power Transfer.
Well, and there
and also every episode with Tommy Oliver in it.
But I bring it up because obviously one of the bigger stories in throughout the season we talk about a lot is the departure of
Jason, Zach, and Trini
and the introduction of Adam, Rocky, and Aisha. When you look at how they worked out the original three and worked in the new three, and obviously Ben, you watching for first time in like your 40s, Brian and I watching for the first time when it actually aired on Fox Kids, and Sasha, when you saw it, whenever.
I don't even remember when I saw it.
Exactly.
This point, but yeah.
What was that like? So the first time you saw that story arc break come about, to seeing it again for when we recorded the show.
Let's let those two go first.
Yeah.
I will say it's really disappointing. and kind of heartbreaking. Not because there's anything wrong with Adam, Aisha, and Rocky. Well, Adam and Aisha, they're fine.
Well, Adam.
Yeah, okay, fine. I like Aisha, though. She is like sweet girl next door. But anyway, the point being that like, there comes after, because like watching these episodes in order, you sort of forget that Trini, Zach, and Jason were even there. Because they're never in the episodes. You see their, you see the morphed, right? And then you see the back of their body doubles. And so it's heartbreaking that we didn't see what I would consider a good send-off, because there was no send-off. They were just written out. And the excuse given, oh, they're going to a peace conference, was just, I think we talked about it when we did power transfer, that it was just a really dumb reason, right? Like they could have got, like they could have given Jason an opportunity, right? Like somebody's family could have been moving away. Somebody got into college early, or like joined the army, or transferred to a fancy schmancy private karate school in the Himalayas. I don't know. Like you could have, like it just, I liked the introduction of the, I liked the way in which Adam, Aisha, and Rocky were introduced, but I didn't like that we didn't get really a, what I would consider an earnest send-off, because we know they're at, the actors of Zach, Trini, and Jason were fired. And it shows that the writers were sort of scrambling their brains of like, okay, we have like three episodes or however many episodes before we need to figure out, before we need to bring in these new actors and like find the new actors or whatever. It's like, how are we going to do it? So, but watching as a kid, Trini was like my favorite character. I don't really know. I can't really explain why, but she just like, she felt more like me than Kimberly did. And so it was kind of, it was a little heartbreaking and a little sad to see her essentially disappear from the show.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Trini, especially the fact that she was the perfect foil to Billy.
Yeah.
Brian, your thoughts?
I can agree with her on a lot of things. I will say, as a kid, and as someone who was a day oneer with Mighty Morphin, the fact, I mean, it absolutely sucked that we were losing Zach and Trini, but the fact that Jason was going to be gone too, that's what really got to me, because Jason, to this day, is still one of my favorite, if not my favorite Ranger. And, you know, yeah, there's a lot of attention on Tommy, but whatever. Jason is honestly, like, he was my first favorite Ranger. I looked up to the guy. He was a role model for me. And then all of a sudden in season two, he's just kind of written out, which, by the way, I got to comment on this because I don't think I did when we did the episode. But if you're going to write somebody out and you have to give a reason as to why they can no longer be in that group, because they're going to be gone for an extended period of time, a peace conference is a pretty dumb reason to give for that, because it's like, it's kind of like going to a convention for a weekend, or like maybe even like a 2-week vacation. It's like, all right, I'm going to be gone for a while.
Yeah, but did you see how they fixed that though? In a later episode, they announced it's a touring peace conference.
It's a what?
It's a touring peace conference.
Oh, okay.
And it goes from country to country to country to country to country to country to country, and then it gets back to the first country again.
Because that just makes it worse. That's basically the writer's acknowledging we wrote ourselves into a corner and we're just going to stay in our corner and think about what we've done and not do anything about it.
We turned the peace conference into the circus.
Right. Like at that point, they could have said that like maybe Kim, like Trini got a scholarship, or maybe Jason really bonded with like this like Japanese ambassador, like representative or something, and like he went to live in Japan for like they could have done something.
Right. But again, as I have pointed out throughout this season, that would have required planning.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair. Brian, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, if it was going to turn into like a touring peace conference kind of thing, why not have them go to that peace conference and then they realize, hey, we can really make a difference here. And they sign up for the Peace Corps, which is pretty much the same thing. And hey, guess what? Now they have a tour of duty. Now they have an obligation. They're signed up for something. It's not the army, but they're signed up. I don't know. It's just, oh God, it's stupid, but whatever.
But I want to piggyback off one point that you said, Brian, being how we're both day oneers, you know, as a kid, you kind of don't notice that. Yeah. Like you kind of can tell that Jason, Trini and Zach are not there, but you really don't notice it until like when we watch it, when we're older and we hear the bad voiceover dubs and stuff like that. So
a very obvious B-roll footage.
Yeah, exactly. It's not until like we're older when we notice that B-roll.
Yeah.
So like I kind of wanted to piggyback off of that point, being how it's like, you know, as a kid, I didn't notice it until, you know, 20 something years later when I watched it again as an adult.
Yeah.
So, what'd y'all think about the, and obviously Sasha, you already said how you felt about the introduction of Adam, Aisha and Rocky. Brian, your thoughts before we go to Ben.
I mean, it was kind of bittersweet because it was like, hey, we're getting like these new characters, but at the expense of losing ones that are already established that we love. And I don't know. I think after a while, like, you know, even if you're, you know, a dumb kid, quotation marks, that's not really paying attention to that, you start to pick up on things like, hey, these three are getting a lot of screen time. And why are Zach, Jason and Trini going off and going to that side of the park? Everybody's here. Why aren't they hanging out? You know, so it's like we're getting something new at the expense of like the old being or leaving when really they were already gone. Yeah, I mean, I love Adam. I love Aisha. Not a huge fan of Rocky.
Can you name a single personality trait Rocky has? Because I can't.
He likes to have fun. Rocky just likes to have fun.
What was it? Okay, straight up.
That episode can go to hell.
Dude.
That episode is hell.
I was watching Best Man for the Job, which is an episode where Tommy and Kim are in, they're running for school president, and like Rita and Zed enchant them. And all of a sudden they have this giant rivalry and they're fighting and arguing all the time. So like Rocky and gang go down there to try and help Tommy out in suit. And like, you know, honestly, one of the best episodes of the season, but Rocky straight up is like, we got to help Tommy. And all of a sudden a Z Putty just bodies him by punching him in the chest and he goes flying. And I'm like, this Red Ranger's useless. Like he just, you know, like, was he caught off guard? Maybe, but like everybody else is holding their own, but Rocky cannot even take a punch and he's morphed. And I'm like,
I find it funny how you just said, it's like Rocky goes, we should go help Tommy. And then he just gets bodied by a putty. It's like the putty's like, no.
The putty's just like,
I wouldn't have a problem with this. If I would have a problem with Rocky getting flung, if it leads to, you know, Rocky realizing he needs to like get better at fighting, or he needs to like learn more karate or whatever.
Right.
But the problem is like, he doesn't go through any growth.
No.
He's the same character from beginning to end.
Literally, to the moment he leaves the show, he's the same character.
Yeah.
And like,
I made the argument in an earlier episode too, and Ben, you weren't there for this, but I made the argument to Mike that, hey, you know what? Rocky and Adam, played by the same actors, still the same character types and whatnot. Adam should have been the Red Ranger and Rocky should have been the Black Ranger. If I'm being completely honest, I think that would have.
I don't think the colors necessarily matter.
Yeah,
Should have been, because when they come in, Rocky, the Red's not the leader of the team anyway.
Yeah, I was about to say that too. It's not like we're first season, Jason is the unquestioned leader until White Light, when Zordon just goes, new leader, it's Tommy.
However, I will say, if we take out Tommy from the equation, then I agree with your point, Brian, that like Adam should have taken, I would say arguably like a slow descent into leadership, where like maybe there is no definitive leader yet because he's still inexperienced, but then he goes through an arc and becomes the leader because they think that's the right choice. But like,
I know that this is going to sound incredibly obvious coming from yours truly, but like Adam's the best Power Ranger in the first like five seasons. Up until In Space.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and even then he gives Andross a run for his money.
And definitely you got to say, I would say in the top five, there, Billy's got to be in there somewhere.
Yeah. But, but like, you're not going to get any argument from me about how Adam should have had a more important role on the team.
Yeah. But that also goes back to, I think, a point that I had made at one point in any of these recordings is that there was a chance to really do something with these new guys, mm-hmm. right? Help them develop. And at the beginning, it sort of implies that that's where this is going, because right after Power Transfer, there's some really good Adam-centric episodes that help build his confidence and help build him as a good and solid Ranger. The problem is Aisha and Rocky don't get that.
Aisha gets the fire story. The one where she's made the fire marshal of of Angel Grove High, but is then like fire marshal for the entire city and starts like threatening to shut down Ernie and all this other stuff. And I'm like, you don't have the power to do that. You're a complete psycho. and then Rocky just wants to have fun. And that's it.
And sorry to interrupt you, Ben. There is like one episode that could have been or should have been about Aisha that ended up being like a Kim focused episode for no reason.
Yeah, Friends Forever.
Yeah, like it could have been a really good opportunity to showcase Aisha and like balancing her life with her Ranger friend and her non-Ranger friend, or helping her two friends get to know each other, or rescuing them, right? But it really ultimately ends up being about Kimberly not getting along with Aisha's friend. Which is nothing for Aisha's character.
And then bonding while in captivity.
Whoop-de-freaking-do.
You know?
And then the next real character development we get for Aisha is like mid-season three when she decides to become a vet. In the whole cat arc.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah.
And that comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, at least with like Adam, like as we dubbed it, there's an episode where we do three episodes and it's all Adam-centric episodes. We dub it the Adam Trilogy. Mm-hmm. And like you can tell they really put the focus on Adam. And I think maybe, and I'm not saying that this is what they were legitimately thinking in 1994, but they're probably seeing how the audience was responding to these new Rangers when they first, you know, introduced them, and probably saw that Adam got the most attention, the most, you know, likes out of and favoritism.
Which is weird because in Ninja Encounter, in the three-parter, of the three new people, Adam does the least.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking like post Ninja Encounter, before Power Transfer, probably something within that time frame.
That's only two episodes, mate.
Yeah, but something in that time frame, something must have clicked that maybe A, the producers just really liked, you know, Johnny Young Bosch a lot, and they really wanted to push him. You know, it could be, you know, it could be that on the producer side. You don't know, like, you know, what fan mail came in instantly, obviously. Studio in LA, letters from California would have gotten to them a lot faster, and they probably could have gotten some early data through the fan letters saying that, like, oh, we like Adam. So, you know, there's all this dynamic that could have led to Adam being the one that they're like, all right, we're going to push him harder than we're going to push the other two.
Right, but ultimately Adam gets better as a character, but it doesn't really, I mean, in the course of this season, we do see him become more confident.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Well, I think his arc of this season was about the confidence, because he always had lacking confidence throughout the season.
Yeah. All I'll say is, like, the one thing I was glad about when Power Transfer happened is the three of the Rangers finally had faces again.
Yeah.
That was nice, because
coming to the period of time where they weren't showing Austin, Zach, or Twi as an adult, it stood out like a sore thumb, an absolute sore thumb. To the point where I'm like, oh, that's a line he used in this episode, and that's a line he used in that episode, and they're just overdubbing them. Hell,
or that's obviously not
that's
his
obviously
voice.
Not that is not his voice.
Hey, Brian, what were you gonna say?
Why is Trini English?
Brian, what were you gonna say?
I was saying, hey, look, there's the scuba diving scene from season one.
Yeah.
They blatantly just reused that.
Hey, look at this awkward sunset shot that clearly doesn't show the three of them.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, it's really nice to be a silhouette.
And like we said, Adam is clearly the most developed of the three new Rangers, which is, I think, is telling as to how Adam is also the only one of those three Rangers that's ever come back.
I was actually about to say that because
Cardenas has come back once.
He came back for the Ninja Steel crossover or anniversary,
I will be completely blatant. I got to like episode two of Megaforce and quit.
But Cardenas did come back for the 25th anniversary.
Okay. So, all right.
Yeah.
And so did, a few others.
Yeah. But Adam came back in space. He came back in Operation Overdrive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he arguably was the best thing about the season of Operation Overdrive, but that's a whole nother story.
We'll get there. Hopefully a little bit faster now. I gotta say, Rocky was just kind of forgettable.
Rocky was the exact same character when he left the show as when he entered the show.
Because Rocky just likes to have fun.
Because Rocky's... And I say this about a lot of Red Rangers in the Mighty Morphin Zeo era. Rocky was a meathead. He was there to be muscle.
Yeah.
Jason was there to be muscle. That's why you needed Billy. It's why you needed Trini. Tommy was kind of the muscle for the Zeo, for the Turbo team, right? Like,
right.
The Red Ranger is invariably the muscle for the team in the early seasons.
Yeah, and that's fine because, like, when you look at it from like a sports team, you know, everyone's kind of got their roles, and that's just kind of how it works.
It's not a bad thing. It's just
it is just what it is.
Yeah,
and I know I differ to this on to the all three of you, but outside, like, I was sad to see Jason go. I was sad to see Zach go. I did not miss Trini at all. Like, at all. I've made my feelings on Trini as a character quite clear. As she's just a blank slate for whatever the writers need her to be for that particular episode, right? A lot of people are like, oh, she was a great foil for Billy when they wanted her to be. And when they didn't want her to be, she was just like, bleh, right? She was tabula rasa of the team, right? Go ahead, Brian.
I was going to say, yeah, she was very much the, oh yeah, I like to do the recycled thing too.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, Trini always came across as the person who had no personality of their own, but was always reflecting other people's personalities.
Never had any hobbies of her own, it felt like.
Yeah.
No, she had that doll collection. That was her own.
Fair.
Yeah.
She had that world famous uncle that's a karate master and scientist.
Everything in that episode is a reflection of someone else in the episode, right? World famous karate master, Jason. Scientist, Billy.
Yep.
See, maybe because I'm a girl, I look at this a little bit differently, but like, and you guys have heard me say this, but like, I remember finding Kimberly annoying. As a kid, like, you know, when you like when I was looking for like which characters I liked Trini, and maybe that had to do maybe because I watched a different dubbed version than what you guys watched. Because as previously stated, I watched it in Russian first, but I never felt like Trini's personality was reflected of other characters. She felt her own person, and I think part of her personality was taking an interest in what other people were doing. And she was the kind of like savant style person that like that could do a little bit of everything. And so I think that's what appealed to me about her. I liked that, you know, she was interesting, and I really liked her friendship with Billy and how she was always supportive of Billy. She felt like Kimberly was supposed to be the valley girl, but Trini felt like the down to earth character. So that is my perspective on that.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Like, it's just a lot of what made Trini in the English dub, or whatever you want to call it, is that she very rarely drove the narrative of episodes, right? She was there to accent the episodes.
That's fair, yeah.
And casual 90s racism, because of course you can translate Billy's technobabble because Asian people are clever, right? And that's how that felt a bit to me, especially watching it as like a 40-year-old man. I'm like, that didn't age well.
That's a good point.
I think the one episode that was really Trini centric though had to be the second episode of season one, when it was about the fear of heights that she had.
There was that, and then there was the whole there were a couple of Trini centric ones that ended up with someone else being the person that was the victor at the end of the day. Like the one with the Dark Warrior, and then a bunch of other stuff going on. I don't know. It was just bad.
Wasn't the one that was at the carnival where her, like, what was it?
Her cousin. Yeah.
Wasn't her cousin the one that saved the day in that episode or something?
No, Tommy actually saves the day in the episode.
But it was still technically geared around Trini.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's actually still one of my favorite episodes, by the way. But I think we talked enough about, you know, the Rangers, the villains. We got to talk about, you know, possibly the two greatest characters of all time in all of Power Rangers.
Adam Park and Adam Park.
Sure, we'll go with that. Second
greatest.
All right, the second and third greatest.
Unsung heroes of the franchise.
Yes.
Bulk and Skull. Kind of a change in arc for them a little bit, gives them a bit more growth. Now they're really trying to find out who the Rangers are. Mm-hmm.
Care of a baby.
Yes, they do.
They do.
They know responsibility.
Yeah. And obviously it's all leading up to where they're going to go in the next season. Ben, we'll start with you because we started with Sasha and Brian a few times already. But how did you feel about Bulk and Skull in season two?
As I have gone on record stating before, they're the only two actual humans in the season. It's a bit different this season because Adam's in it and you see a bit of develop. No. And I'm very serious about that because you actually see Adam develop as a character. Unlike a lot of the other people that are around them. Bulk Skull and Adam are the only actual humans in the show. They're fallible, they make mistakes. And there's just this beautiful moment, as you alluded to in Ninja Encounter, where there's the 3-minute chase of the baby. And Bulk and Skull, the two people that you would least expect to have done that a season ago, are putting everything into saving this child. And then even though they don't save the kid, they sit down on the park bench completely exhausted, and the Rangers just hang out with them for a while. And they're like, okay, you tried, right? Not, they don't openly say that, but like, it's this turning point in the relationship. And then they actually look after the child when the dad gets taken. And that specific moment is probably my favorite sequence in the season. Just them looking after the child, and it hits pretty. That's kind of like the start of
their rise.
Not to steal a line from Dino Fury's opening theme, but their evolution revolution. can you tell I watched like 9 episodes of it yesterday on painkillers? No, wow.
That's even better. Yeah, I agree with you, Ben. And I think I mentioned when we talked about that episode that that was also my favorite scene, because Bulk and Skull are evolving. They're not just bullies anymore. And we do see them, do good things, like take care of a baby. But we also see them actually like think about what they're doing, right? They think about like they strategize about how to find the Ranger's identity. Sure. But they also like hide from monsters, and they end up facing monsters, right? They are sort of evolving beyond their initial fears of monsters as well. But no, that baby sequence it made my heart melt. It's like, yes.
I think a good number two to the baby sequence has to be when they actually save the Rangers and they willingly sacrifice their memories of the Rangers to save them.
There's also a moment in one of the episodes which absolutely breaks my heart. And it's the one where they get the concrete casting of the Rangers' footprints, and they're carrying it in. And the Rangers like force them to drop it, and they drop it, and Bulk lets out this cry of utter devastation and absolute defeat. And it's like, oh,
who are the real bullies again?
Yeah.
And it's actually funny. It's like when we talk about bullies, it's like, I mean, Bulk and Skull in a way are still kind of bully-esque, but they're not fully bullies. But you actually have like a...
Do they actually bully anyone this season? I think dress like...
Not really.
Well, the interesting thing is that like when Brian and I did Rangers in Time, when, you know, Zed rewound time and they turned him into kids, you know, Bulk and Skull as kids were trying to bully, you know, the other kids, but they ended up bullying Bulk and Skull back, which tells you that the Rangers have really been bullies since they've been children. But overall, they haven't really gone out to try to bully.
There's also the moment, I can't remember which episode it's in, but I think it's Aisha is having problems opening her locker.
Yeah, and Bulk helps her open the locker.
Just helps her.
I think that's like right after they transfer schools to go to Angel Grove. Yeah.
Yeah, that might have been the episode immediately after Ninja, I think it is.
Because like Bulk and Skull in season one would have like made a pass at her, right? Like they do with Kimberly. Mm-hmm. But like in this season, they're just like, no, let me help you open the locker.
Yeah.
And they weren't mean about it. They were like, oh, I helped you open your locker. Now you have to do something for me. It was just like, it was earnest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think because of the events that took place in Ninja Encounter, and this is the episode immediately after Ninja Encounter, you know, it's a building block from Ninja Encounter to that episode with the helping of Aisha with the locker. Mm-hmm. It's just part of those building blocks to get them to where they are now.
The other thing is, like, I think Bulk and Skull were the most insecure characters in the show. And I think part of what we see this season is that Their macho-ness and their bravado and their ha 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 ha, it's nothing but overcompensation for feeling so little, which, like, you know, getting constantly bullied by the Rangers will have some kind of effect.
Think about how often they're laughed at openly in public.
Like, a lot. Like, every other episode.
Even adults laugh at them.
Yep.
It's bad.
So I think they sort of have to sort of create this personas of themselves, of these, like, outlandish and ridiculous people to sort of shield themselves from the ridicule a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of like the one thing is, you know, everyone knows I do self-deprecating humor. And I make jokes to make people laugh. I make jokes about myself to make people laugh. One of the reasons I do it is that because I've been bullied. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you make fun of yourself and you make everyone else laugh and you're laughing along with them, the bullies lose a little bit of ammunition to go after you.
That's true.
So I totally see that with Bulk and Skull. Brian, any thoughts?
Nothing I can really add that's going to, you know, change the conversation too much. I completely agree with both Sasha and Ben. I think coming up, we're going to have more, I don't know if memorable is the word to say, but like, interesting is definitely the word to say for like the next two seasons, which we're going to get to, obviously, when it comes to Bulk and Skull. This season, it was nice that they had a hobby. It was nice that they weren't just kind of, you know, showing up and trying to get involved and, you know, unfortunately and inevitably, you know, accidentally, you know, making an ass of themselves. And not like they were going out to do that. It just kind of happened. I think that it was good character development for them. And there were some really good episodes with them. But again, nothing I can really add on top of that. So yeah, I agree with Ben and Sasha on that.
So with that, again, near the end of our season two finale. So let's end it on a positive note of what was your favorite moment?
Before we do that, can we talk about the new Zords?
Oh, yes, we may.
Because I absolutely love the Thunder Megazord. The samurai motif, it's a brilliant Megazord.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Definitely still one of my favorite toys that I have in my collection.
I would say it's still one of my favorite toys in my collection, but my dad threw them out when I was a kid.
I'm so sorry.
If anyone knows where I could find a Legacy Edition.
Ooh, good luck.
Sasha just has this look of utter shock on her face.
I mean, this is the same thing where one of my friends, her stepfather, his dad had Golden Age Captain America comics that his father threw out. I know. I cry when I heard that. So like, no. This is this kind of gets to like, first of all, like, don't throw out your kid's stuff. Like, let your kid decide which toys he wants to donate and maybe help them with that. But like, don't throw out your kid's toys. Or your son's comic books. Just don't do that. I will say I like I think the Zords are fine. They definitely feel like an upgrade from the previous Zords, which I think the show really did a great job of emphasizing that these are new and better and improved Zords.
I kind of wish though that they had also gone with the new suits of Dire Ranger, because it would have fit the motif of the Zords better. It would have made a lot more sense rather than seeing a Mastodon helmet with, you know, the lion, you know, it would have had things make more sense a little bit, but at least we got the White Ranger. We got Saba in. But it would have been nice to see the Dire Ranger suits.
The animation on the Tiger Zord was awful though. In Tiger mode, it was so bad.
I can agree with you on that.
I think that's why when they first introduced it, they had it stumble, because it was like when they were, and it's like that in Die Ranger 2 when they first introduced the Zord, it actually stumbles. And I think that was them actually making a joke about the animation that they did for the White Tiger Zord.
Well, it could also have been that a kid was trying to pilot a Zord or a mecha, and it's like, oh crap, sorry, I don't have the hang of it just yet. But that's Sentai, we're talking Rangers.
But they carried it over well with Tommy when he first used it too, because they kind of played it off a little bit.
So I know plenty of people might have already had this idea, but my idea with one of the ideas I came up with, or it not came up with, I'm not gonna like trademark it or anything, but you know, what they could have done with the Die Ranger suits in order to kind of match the footage a little bit better. They could have kept the Zoo Ranger footage, or like the Zoo Ranger suits for the American stuff, because they were going to fight Z-Putties anyways, right? And then when they're going to get into the Zords, or if they need that little bit of extra oomph when they're fighting the monster, use the Die Ranger suits as a battleizer.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, we've
been better than glitter armor.
we'll get to that.
Time, I'm looking at the Die Ranger suits because I forgot what they look like, because I am the one that does not do Sentai on this team.
Two people on the team don't do the Sentai. Two people do.
Yeah, but Ben still knows more about the Sentai than I do. But my point being that I don't think the Die Ranger suits worked necessarily as like extra armor. I think they're a little too different to pass as armor. I think this is the same issue, and I'm sorry to go to a future season, Mike, but I have to. But when Megaforce went from the like angel motif to the pirate motif, the justification was that this was an upgrade, and it just doesn't work because it's such a vast contrasting motif that I had a hard time believing, even like turning off my adult brain as much as I could for that season. It's hard to sort of wrap your brain around how you go from an angel motif to a pirate motif, and this is an upgrade without any sort of explanation beyond that. I think here's the thing. I think what they really should have done was, as Mike said, they should have just gone to the Die Ranger uniforms. However, I understand why they did it. So maybe they thought it was like too much change at once.
We'll talk about that when we get to Zeo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because probably a little bit next season.
Because we'll probably talk about it with the Alien Rangers.
I'm convinced that the ninja outfits that they got in season 3 when they used ninja mode were a test to see how audiences would react to a change in suit.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's a fair point.
I'm absolutely convinced of it.
Makes sense to me.
And then glitter armor.
But that is for next season.
Which is coming soon. Than the break between season 1 and 2.
Yeah.
We kind of Rick and Morty this.
Record every episode on my own.
Yeah, we promise not the Rick and Morty between season 2 and season 3.
Oh, don't worry, Ben and I won't let you.
No.
But I also hopefully won't be bouncing around between like 15,000 jobs.
With really ridiculous hours.
Yeah.
And the other Zord that was introduced was Tor, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That thing was important.
Who in the Sentai is a person.
That's awesome.
Which made things weird because I hadn't watched up to that point. And, you know, I kind of made the note of like when Tor was like, you know, getting head pats by the, the Red Thunder Zord.
Yeah.
I was it's cute. And then like, I see that and I'm like, what the hell? Oh no. I made things weird.
Like that combination of Zords still has one of my favorite finishing moves of all time, where they all combine, fly up into the air and just drop on the thing like a big like 16-ton weight in a Monty Python skit.
God, it is fantastic. It's great stuff.
Oh man.
I love it.
So with that, positive thing that you what's your positive moment of season 2? Bri, we'll start with you.
My positive moment of season 2?
What, favorite moment or favorite episode?
like, it could be a favorite episode. It could be an actual moment within an episode. It doesn't have to be a full episode.
I would say going back and watching these episodes, I definitely had some favorites, but the one that I got the most enjoyment out of was, again, and I've mentioned it before this episode, Best Man for the Job, just because I loved the blocking during that fight, because again, Kim and Tommy are morphed and they're still arguing, and like, you know, they're dodging Z putties, and like Kim is just giving Tommy, like, you know,
she's giving him the business.
And like, it gets to the point where, like, straight up, like, they're arguing, they knock out like a Z putty. The Z putty like mimes to the camera, just like, you know what? Not my business. Ugh. Can you believe this? And then like Goldar's just sitting there, like he's about to throw a punch, and like Kim's just like, just hold on a second, I'm not done with him yet. And like, it was just, I don't know. It was that was definitely one of my favorite moments of season two, just because it was like, oh my God, this is, I just had a really good time watching that episode. Not that I didn't have good time watching other episodes, but like, I got a genuine good 5 minutes of laughter out of that episode. Not in like a malicious way. I was just like, I'm enjoying myself. I love this. It almost felt like a deconstruction of sorts, because like they were kind of playing around with some tropes that had been established since season one. And I loved it. And again, loved the Zords. I loved the monster designs too. They were kind of wack. Like, having played MMPR Tournament Fighters on the SNES, the one monster that I can still remember is the lipstick monster. And like just, I can't even remember her name, but like, just stuff like that. Like, they got really creative with monsters in this. Like, it was just, I don't know, they looked really cool and the fights were great. And yeah, I think season two was, honestly, season two is probably, it's a little higher up, but like, it's definitely probably my favorite one out of the bunch, just because even though there's a lot of negative stuff that happens, it's like, it's definitely the one where it felt like Power Rangers finally got a solid footing. When I have memories of going home and watching Power Rangers, more often than not, I'm thinking of like season two, because like the fights, the music, all that. So,
Ben. Ben, how about you?
If I had to nail down an absolute favorite episode, this might be incredibly predictable, but Green No More.
Ben, why is that?
Because Tommy buggers off for three episodes. Woohoo!
I just wanted
to notice how little we've talked about Tommy this episode.
I don't see a problem with that.
Do we really need to? He's gonna be around a while.
Yeah.
We have plenty of time. Like, come back to us halfway through Turbo to talk about Tommy.
I do think it is worth noting how well they executed the introduction of the White Ranger.
Yes.
Like, they did execute it well, right? We didn't talk about Curtis and Richie and all the other misdirections they tried to fire in our direction. But like, they did execute that performance well. And again, that whole thing about the White Ranger is the entire reason I'm now 20-something seasons deep in this show.
All because I once
asked Mike in a car, so you know how they made the White Ranger? Yeah. Why didn't they just keep making Rangers? And he was like,
there's a very simple explanation for that.
And Mike was like, what? And I'm like, why did they not just keep manufacturing Rangers? Why the next time Rita or Zed looked down at Earth, went, why are there now 27 Power Rangers?
And the next, lack of Sentai footage.
And then the next 6 hours of a car journey was me asking Power Rangers questions. At the end of it, I just went, sod it, I'm just going to watch Power Rangers.
So we spent like 2/3 of a 9-hour car ride talking about Power Rangers. I think the other 3 hours were me trying to take a nap, you know, because Ben exhausted me from the conversation.
But like, we were asking all kinds of weird questions. Anyway, but yeah, like, I also have to mention Ninja Encounter because of the introduction of Adam Park. And I know that's been a bit of a meme for me this season, but I really do genuinely believe that Adam doesn't get the credit he deserves. I'd also need to mention the Balkan Skull stuff in that episode, but I could talk about little things for a while, but I wasn't a big fan of season two at all.
Sasha?
Yeah, I agree with Ben. Shocker, I know. But there's a couple of things I enjoyed about the season, but I can't say that I have a favorite episode. I will say I have a favorite moment. Alpha going evil.
Yeah, putting all the stuff on Zoran's face.
That was hilarious. It was sort of like you finally took off the all his inhibitions and he just like didn't care anymore. And he was he wasn't completely evil. He was sort of like a sneaky evil and like a silly evil, but it was just so funny. Alpha's retorts to Zorna, like, "Oh, big Wyatt, you big head," or something like that. It was funny. And that definitely got a significant chuckle out of me. I will say Adam Park is definitely a great addition to this season. I think having reviewed several of his arc episodes, I really got good insights into the character, and it was really fun to see. I really wish we could have seen like kind of a little bit of a slow progression. But we do get something similar with later Rangers who kind of go through something similar of being shy, of being insecure about themselves. But I love how much Adam didn't let that stop him from being a Ranger, from wanting to do what was right. Mm-hmm. Zed's puns were occasionally very on point. So kudos to that.
There was a strong pun game this season.
There was a strong pun game.
Not as many puns as Samurai, but we'll get there.
But if I'm being perfectly honest, this is a very season overall. But there's definitely a lot more things I disliked about it that I did like. As everyone was talking, I was like scrolling through my notes on episodes, trying to remember what the heck there was anything likable about this season. And it's just it was like the little things that I enjoyed, not so much specific episodes. There's just little things in those episodes. Just like Ben said, the taking care of the baby by Balkan Skull. Balkan Skull, like, just doing cool things this season and like taking on more responsibility and not shying away from responsibility. Just the little things.
For me, it's more about moments and, like, obviously, Balkan Skull's moments and like Ninja Encounter, stuff like that. One that I've always enjoyed was Kim impersonating Rita.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. Like, that was just so entertaining and so good. It's like, and you know, you talked about Alpha going evil because he had like that virus put into him. And, you know, it's kind of like that, you know, we saw that with Billy, with Blue Ranger gone bad. You know, when you kind of take the gloves off these so-called goody two-shoes, you know, and they let the sass fly, you get some pretty good, you know, content right there out of them. So, because like David Yost in Blue Ranger gone bad, when they had the evil version of him, he was really good with that. You know, like I said, Kim impersonating Rita. It's well, moments.
They finally
like,
let him act, so that helps.
Yeah, and you know, and Ben and Brian, you both can attest to this as well because you know we're wrestling fans and we actually kind of notice in a way when it comes to wrestlers, when you're the good guy, you're kind of handcuffed on things that you can and can't do, whereas when you're the bad guy, the gloves do come off. Anything goes because you're trying to get that heat. And seeing those little glimpses of when, like, you know, Kim had to pretend to be Rita and Alpha having the virus and Billy gone bad, you know, we got to see performances that were gloves off, you know, let's be entertaining with it and get some heat and make people, you know, enjoy the moment. And it worked. It really did.
So honestly, like, and I guess I'll end on this. Like, yeah, Billy, like in that, I don't think David Yost gets enough credit because, like, especially in that episode, yeah, he was on point. He was really good in that episode because, like, even as I was just sitting there writing notes and I was just trying to, like, you know, watch the episode, like, he legitimately got, like, heat from me for a second there. I was like, wait a minute. Like, I was just like, that's not cool, dude. Like, he started getting some heat from me. And I was like, they're doing their job, yeah. You know, they're doing their job.
Yep. So with that, I think we've talked enough season two, unless there's anything anyone else wants to bring
What's
up.
What's everyone quick. Looking forward to most for season three?
Oh, definitely the glitter armor. I mean, I think it's just going to be so fabulous.
Said by
the end. That is what I'm looking forward to at the end of for season three, the end of this entire Mighty Morphin arc.
I'm looking forward to the when they're in the glitter suits, they inexplicably do the Go Ranger pose, which was weird. No, I'm kidding. I'm looking forward to definitely the Ninja Megazord, the Shogun Megazord, all that stuff. Rito.
Seeing another Ranger team come in.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to the stuff in the ninja suits. The fights in the ninja suits might be my favorite parts of Mighty Morphin. Like where they're actually using the ninja powers. I find those fights really fun.
I look forward to the return of Ivan Ooze's crows.
The Tengu.
Yep, there you go.
They're not
crows. But yeah, I mean... And I'm not going to lie, I do like Rito. I'm looking forward to a bit of half skeleton, half camouflage, man.
I mean, it'll be interesting because, I mean, I know there's obviously some character arcs that are going to be, and which we'll talk about for better or for worse, depending on how we all view it when we get to those character arcs, when we get to them, because we know that they do another change to the team again. So, I mean, yeah, you have definitely things to look forward to, like with suit changes, and new characters, and a whole bunch of stuff. And Sasha doing the whoopty freaking do it for finger thing.
I mean, I've said this before that, like, there are Power Rangers seasons that hold up really, really well.
Yeah.
And then there are Power Rangers seasons. Like, there are Power Rangers seasons that we can all say that we will rewatch as an adult and still enjoy. Like, genuinely enjoy, right?
I'm pretty sure I've now watched Jungle Fury, like, 6 times.
Exactly, right? We all have those seasons that, like, we will go back to. There are seasons that, like, we can rewatch as adults and still appreciate. But the Mighty Morphin era is not rewatchable. We are rewatching it, right? But we're not rewatching it with the same rose-colored...
I would go so far as say nothing before In Space is rewatchable.
But TJ gets cooked into a pizza.
Look, that is singularly my favorite episode of that season.
Here's the thing. There are individual episodes within a season that are rewatchable, right?
Yeah.
But there is, like, nobody wants to sit through all of Turbo again ever, right? Nobody wants to sit through all of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Okay, maybe most people wouldn't.
I don't want to sit through Turbo again, and I will say Zio has kind of been a slog. It's more of a slog than I expected.
But that is the reality that we're facing. So I will say, like, for me, this has been a semi-trip down memory lane that I'm very happy to move on from as quickly as possible.
There are better seasons in the future, Sasha.
Yeah, like I'll take a nap and, like, call me when we get to Turbo.
So what we're going to do when it comes to Turbo, right, is you're just going to do every episode.
Yes.
Fine by me. Fine, I'll do it. You guys can take a break. You guys cover season three and the Alien Ranger saga by yourselves, and I will cover Turbo by myself.
There's No. You still have to be in some episodes. Like, we still have to be in some episodes of Turbo.
Fine.
Yeah, you'll just take my role of the lead host moderator.
Yeah,
and you'll do for all turbo? The episodes.
No.
Since we started this entire thing, you're like, I cannot wait for Turbo.
That's not what I said. I said I will have, like, I can sit through Turbo begrudgingly. Just because Ben, when you wrote about it for your piece for your articles, I pitched it a little bit. I rewatched some of the episodes of Turbo, and they weren't great, but they're still better than Mighty Morphin.
I am bagging right now. At the end of season two, I'm doing the pizza episode.
Yes, Brian.
I will say my history with Power Rangers, not to be confused with Linkara's history of Power Rangers, but my history with Power Rangers is that Turbo's the season that made me stop watching initially, which sucks because In Space was like right around the corner. So. And if I had just stuck it out, I would have been watching In Space and been like, oh, well, I'm glad I stuck around.
We've spent like 10 minutes back talking Turbo at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
let's go back here.
I'll throw this out there because Brian said that Turbo was the season that made him stop watching Rangers. Ironically, shortly after Power Transfer, and I think maybe 5 to 6 episodes in, is actually when I stopped watching Power Rangers during season 2. Because that's when I was also playing ice hockey all the time. So it became a decision of what do you want to do? Do you want to play hockey or do you want to sit at home and watch Power Rangers? And, you know, it was a decision I had to make. So like for me, it's like some of the episodes, especially the later half of season 2, I didn't see those until I was like an adult. So.
But yeah, to follow up what Sasha said, it's not been enjoyable watching Mighty Morphin as an adult, especially when I'm watching it for the first time. I have no nostalgia goggles for it. None.
I know what I said earlier, but the nostalgia goggles are starting to get mud on them for me as I continue to watch, because, you know, I still have all these great memories of like, oh man, I rushed home and watched it after school. But like, yeah, the more and more I watch Mighty Morphin, I'm like, yeah, it's time to go watch some other stuff because there's so many more seasons and they're so much better.
We'll get there.
So much more cool stuff. I know what's on the horizon. I just have to get through this.
That's what's keeping me going through watching.
The countdown to In Space has begun, ladies and gents. That is what is keeping us going. And I think I'm looking forward to all of the In Space episodes because that's what got me back into Power Rangers. I think that's what got a lot of people back into Power Rangers. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to our moderator and head honcho man himself, Mike.
Hey, Sasha, guess what? Where can the people find you on social media?
Dang it. Okay. You can find my lovely, lovely, obnoxious-ass comic book opinions on geekgirl101.tumblr.com. You can occasionally find me on Twitter at Geeky Kaplan, that is Kaplan with a K, after the greatest superhero in the Marvel Universe, Billy Kaplan, and occasionally reviewing comic books and torturing myself over on geekycaptainwrites.wordpress.com. And if you have not read my article about the Effie Coleman effect, really, what's wrong with you and why haven't you read it yet?
Right. Real quick, you can find me on Twitter at @thelinabomb75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions, Twitch doing the gaming thing at twitch.tv/themichaelx75, and of course everything's on the website at txhthockey.com, and for the show specific, VFTG. Brian, where can the people find you on the social media?
You can find me on Instagram at Draken22. You can also find me on Twitter at OneDrunkGeek. Also, be sure to come check us out at castwavestudios.com. One Drunk Geek and Boldly Going Nowhere are our titular shows, plus many more. Come check it out. Always longtime friend of the studio. Love you guys. And, you can see our other stuff there. My and my other friends' stuff as well.
Right, hold on. We got to prep for this one.
All right, loosen up a little bit.
Loosen. All right.
Get all loosey goosey. Get ready for it.
All right, Ben.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at
Bob T. Goldfish.
You can find me doing the video game thing with Jordan and my wife over at
twitch.tv/321_TV.
You can find this show on Twitter at
VFTG_PR.
And you can find our sister show that Mike and I host, all about the goings on in, well, it's not even about the goings on in professional wrestling anymore. It's
or like 1996.
It's more of a watch along so that we have an excuse to watch wrestling with our friends. Over at
TXHDHockey.com/AwesomeMania.
And now that my health issues seem to be taking a bit of a break, I'm hopefully going to get back to writing my Power Rangers columns over at
TXHDHockey.com/Ben's-Journey.
And at the time of recording, I'm in the middle of writing the Dino Thunder column, which means I have a lot to say because I like that season, even though it's got Tommy in it.
So, so with that, Ben, take us out, my friend.
It's been a long, strange journey through season two, mainly in our own private lives due to shenanigans and other such nonsense. And I do always want to send us out on the exact same note, which is to say, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, in the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other and party on, non-gender-specific honorifics.
And as always, until our next Morphonomical episode, be sure to grab your morphers and your power coins.
And may the power protect you.
And please join us for season 3. We promise it won't take so long. Really, we promise.
Hey, everybody, it's what Mike up? And Ben.
We're just tacking a little thing on here, right, to the end of season 2.
Yeah. We're just going to let you know that season 3 is in the can, mm-hmm. almost, and it will be debuting in April of 2022.
Yeah, we took a long time between season 1 and season 2. Because of like health problems and tech problems and
work problems
and all kinds of things. But that is not the case between season 2 and season 3. Season 3 is in the can, polished and done. It is ready to release. We're just going to take a bit of a break while we do some admin on our end to get ready for Zio. I hope you enjoy season 3 when it comes out.
That will be April 2022, and we may actually do a little break in the middle of the season because that season may also be happening around the same time as Awesome Con. We may want to put the Awesome Con content within the season, or we may save it for post-season 3 as an in-between season 3 and Zio.
And if you're listening to this in the future, this announcement means nothing to you because season 4, 8, 12, 32, 64... 128 and beyond are already out.
Yep. So,
and if you aren't, if you've come back in time to listen to this to when it was released, Jen Scott needs to talk to you.
With that, we'll see you in April.
Peace.